कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनन्दना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी बीजनवल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतशिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ISKCON BBT संस्थापक आचार्य His Divine Grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. దిస్ మార్నింగ్ వి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటు 9 చాప్టర్ 1 ఇన్ ద మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ కింగ్ సుద్యుమ్న బికమ్స్ అ ఉమన్. నౌ వి హ్యావ్ టెక్స్ట్ 1-17, సో విల్ హ్యావ్ అ బిట్ ఆఫ్ రీడింగ్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్. A small text though. Okay, I'll just read the Sanskrit texts and the translations. Shri Rajo Vacha Manvantarani Sarvani Tvayoktani Shutani Me Viryani Ananta Viryasya Harestatra Kritani Cha. Translation. This text 1. King Parikshit said, My Lord Shukadeva Goswami, you have elaborately described all the periods of the various Manus and within those periods the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has unlimited potency. I am fortunate to have heard all this from you. Text 2 and 3. Yosau Satyavrato Nama Rajarshir ద్రవిడేశ్వరః జ్ఞానం యో తీతకల్పంతే లేబే పురుష సేవయా సవైవివ స్వతః పుత్రో మనురాసీద్ ఇతి శృతం త్వత్వస్తస్య సుతా ప్రోక్తా ఇక్ష్వాకు ప్రముఖా నృపాః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఆఫ్ టెక్స్ట్ 2 అండ్ 3. సత్యవ్రత, ద సెయింట్లీ కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద్రవిడ దేశ, హు రిసీవ్డ్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ at the end of the last millennium by the grace of the Supreme, later became Vaivasvata Manu, the son of Vivasvan, in the next Manvantara period of Manu. I have received this knowledge from you. I also understand that such kings as Ikshvaku were his sons, as you have already explained. Text 4. Tesham Vamsham Pratak Brahman వంశానుచరితాని చ కీర్త కీర్తయస్వ మహాభాగా నిత్యం శుశ్రూషతాం హినః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఆఫ్ టెక్స్ట్ 4. ఓ గ్రేట్లీ ఫార్చునేట్ శుకదేవ గోస్వామి, ఓ గ్రేట్ బ్రాహ్మణ, కైండ్లీ డిస్క్రైబ్ టు అస్ సపరేట్లీ ద డైనెస్టీస్ అండ్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దోస్ కింగ్స్, ఫర్ వీఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ ఈగర్ టు హియర్ సచ్ టాపిక్స్ ఫ్రమ్ యూ. టెక్స్ట్ 5. ఏ భూతాయే భవిష్యశ్చ భవంతి అద్యంతనాశ్చయే తేషాం న పుణ్య కీర్తినాం సర్వేషం వాద విక్రమాన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. కైండ్లీ టెల్ us అబౌట్ ది ఎబిలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది సెలబ్రేటెడ్ కింగ్స్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ ద డైనెస్టీ ఆఫ్ వివస్వత మను, ఆఫ్ వైవస్వత మను, ఇంక్లూడింగ్ దోజ్ హూ హ్యావ్ ఆల్రెడీ ప్యాస్డ్, those who may appear in the future and those who exist at present. Text 6. Shri Suta Uvacha evam parikshita rajnya sadasi brahmavadinam prishtha pravacha bhagavan chukaha parama dharmavit. Translation. Suta Goswami said, when Shukadeva Goswami, the greatest knower of religious principles, was thus requested by Maharaj Parikshit in the assembly of all the scholars learned in Vedic knowledge, he then proceeded to speak. Text 7. Shri Shuka Uvacha Shrutayam Manavo Vamshaha Prachuryena Parantapa Na Shakyate Vistarato Vaktum Varsha Shater Api. Translation of Text 7. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King, subduer of your enemies, now hear from me in great detail about the dynasty of Manu. I shall explain as much as possible, although one could not say everything about it, even in hundreds of years. Text 8. Paravaresham bhutanam atmaya purushah paraha sa evashid idam vishvam kal Pante Nyanna Kinchanaha. Translation. The Transcendental Supreme Person the super soul of all living entities who are in different states of life, high and low, existed at the end of the millennium, when neither this manifested cosmos nor anything else but him existed. There's a small purport here. Taking the proper position from which to describe the dynasty of Manu, Shukadeva Goswami begins by saying that when the entire world is inundated, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists and nothing else. Shukadeva Goswami will now describe how the Lord creates other things one after another. Text 9. Tasya nabe sambhavat padmakosho hiranmayaha tasmin jajne maharaja swayambhus chatur ananaha. Translation. O King Parikshit, from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was generated a golden lotus on which the four-faced Lord Brahma took his birth. Text 10. Marichir manasas tasya jajne tasya pikashyapaha dyaksya daksha yanyam tato dityam vivasvan abhavat sutaha. Translation. From the mind of Lord Brahma, Marichi took birth, and from the semen of Marichi, Kashyapa appeared from the womb of the daughter of Daksha Maharaj. From Kashyapa, by the womb of Aditi, Vivaswan took birth. Texts 11 and 12. Tato manu shraddha devaha samnyayam asa bharata shraddhayam janayam asa dashaputran sa atmavan ikshvaku nirga sharyati dishtadrishta karukshakan narishyantham prashadharam cha nahabagam cha kavim vibhu. Translation. O King, best of the Bharata dynasty, from Vivaswan, by the womb of Samnya, Shraddhadeva Manu was born. Shraddhadeva Manu, having conquered his senses, begot 10 sons in the womb of his wife Shraddha. The names of these sons were Ikshvaku, Nriga, Sharyati, Dishta, Drishta, Karushaka, Narishyanta, Prishadhara, Nahabaga and Kavi. Text 13. Aprajasya mano purvan vashishto bhagavan kila mitra varunayor ishtim prajartham akarod vibhu. Translation. Manu at first had no sons. Therefore, in order to get a son for him, the great saint Vashishta, who was very powerful in spiritual knowledge, performed a sacrifice to satisfy the demigods Mitra and Varuna. Text 14. Tatra shraddha mano patni otaram samayachata duhitratham upagamya pranipatya payovrata. Translation. During that sacrifice, Shraddha, Manu's wife, who was observing the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk, approached the priest offering the sacrifice, offered obeisances to him and begged for a daughter. Text 15. Preshito dvaryuna hota vyacharatad samahitaha grihite havishi vacha vashatkaram grinan vijaha. Translation. Told by the chief priest, now offer oblations. The person in charge of oblations took clarified butter to offer. He then remembered the request of Manu's wife and performed the sacrifice while chanting the word Vashat. Text 16. Hotastad vyabicharena kanyela nama shabhavat tam vilokya manu praha na tishtus tamana gurum. Translation. Manu had begun that sacrifice for the sake of getting a son, but because the priest was diverted by the request of Manu's wife, a daughter named Ila was born. Upon seeing the daughter, Manu was not very satisfied. Thus he spoke to his guru Vashishta as follows. Purport. This is a small purport before we go on to today's text. Purport. Because Manu had no issue, he was pleased at the birth of the child, even though a daughter, and gave her the name Ila. Later, however, he was not very satisfied to see the daughter instead of a son. Because he had no issue, he was certainly very glad at the birth of Ila, but his pleasure was temporary. Okay, so now we go on to today's text. Text 17. Bhagavan kim idam jatam karmavo brahmavadinam viparyayam aho kashtam maivam syad brahma vikivya. Bhagavan kim idam jatam karmova brahmavadinam viparyayam aho kashtam maivam syad brahma vikriya. Bhagavan kim idam jatam karmavo brahmavadinam viparyayam aho kashtam maivam syad brahma vikriya. Bhagavan kim idam jatam karmavo brahmavadinam viparyayam aho kashtam maivam syad brahma vikriya. Bhagavan, O my Lord, kim idam, what is this? Jatam, born, karma, fruitive activities, vaha, of all of you, brahmavadinam, of you who are expert in chanting the Vedic mantras, viparyayam, deviation, aho, alas, kashtam, painful, ma evam syat, Thus it should not have been. Brahma Vikriya. This opposite action of the Vedic mantras. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, all of you are expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. How then has the result been opposite to the one desired? This is a matter for lamentation. There should not have been such a reversal of the results of the Vedic mantras. Purport. In this age, the performance of yajna has been forbidden because no one can properly chant the Vedic mantras. If Vedic mantras are chanted properly, the desire for which a sacrifice is performed must be successful. Therefore, the Hare Krishna chant is called the Maha Mantra, the great exalted mantra above all other Vedic mantras. Because simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra brings so many beneficial effects. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shikshashtaka 1, Cheto Darpanamarjanam Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jeevanam Anandambudhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvatmasnaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Therefore, the best performance of yajna given to us is the Sankirtana Yajna. Yajne Sankirtane Praya Yajanti Sumedashaha. Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Those who are intelligent take advantage of the greatest yajna in this age by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, Maha Mantra in congregation. When the Hare Krishna Mantra is chanted by many men together, the chanting is called Sankirtana. And as a result of such a yajna, there will be clouds in the sky. Yajnyad Bhavati Parjanyaha. In these days of drought, people can gain relief from scarcity of rain and food by the simple method of the Hare Krishna Yajna. Indeed, this can relieve all of human society. At present, there are droughts throughout Europe and America and people are suffering. But if people take this Krishna consciousness movement seriously, if they stop their sinful activities and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, all their problems will be solved without difficulty. In other processes of yajna, there are difficulties because there are no learned scholars who can chant the mantra perfectly well, nor is it possible to secure the ingredients to perform the yajna. Because human society is poverty stricken and men are devoid of Vedic knowledge and the power to chant the Vedic mantras, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only shelter. People should be intelligent enough to chant it. Yajnaye Sankirtane Praye Yajantihi Sumedashaha. Those whose brains are dull cannot understand this chanting, nor can they take to it. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 9, Chapter 1, in the matter of King Sudyumna becomes a woman, Text 17. Omagyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagaragrama Tarine नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गोपी परान धनदासे इति नामिने नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिन्तारिणं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। कथांचन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् विस्मृते विपरीतं स्यात् श्री चैतन्यम नमामितम। सो दिस चैप्टर इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग इन द कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ द टाइम्स इन विच वी लिव। टुमारो स्पीकर इज गोइंग टू बी नरसिम्हानंद प्रभु। सो यू विल हियर अ लॉट ऑफ इंटरेस्टिंग थिंग्स फ्रॉम हिम। Especially in modern times, the idea, I think in America there are, they consider now there are 56 genders, I don't know, something, a very large number of genders, and you can choose, it is not by biological birth, but you can actually choose which gender you belong to. And so in this chapter you will see how a woman got transformed into a man. I'm not going to speak on that topic because I want to spare all that fun for Narasimhananda Prabhu. So I'll just speak on the text that we are referring to today, text 17, where Prabhupada is speaking about all the about the exclusivity of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We are called the Hare Krishna movement, and one of the criticisms that people both in India and outside India, those who are familiar with the Vedic tradition, they level against us is, you Hare Krishnas, whatever you say Hare Krishna. You have only one solution. Whatever you talk, you say only Hare Krishna, that's it. And but there are so many good things in the Vedic tradition. And what is the harm? Why is this only Hare Krishna? It sounds quite fanatical, especially in India. People have this concept of different gods and they're familiar with the Vedic literature, different yajnas. We just had Ganesha Chaturthi. So this idea that these Hare Krishnas are some kind of exclusivists, they don't participate in the general Vedic tradition. And we are regarded as a little bit strange. But if you look at the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is his philosophy? Aradhya Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kanchi Dupasana Varajavadu Vargena Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamavalam. So yes, we are a bit strange. Because what have we done? Dharma Projita Kaita. We have rejected all of the scriptures, not as unbonafide, not that the Vedic literature is unbonafide, because that's one of the offenses against the chanting of the holy names, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures. We are not blaspheming the Vedic literatures. We have given it up because they all help you, they all help the human beings to practice a little bit of cheating. Therefore, we have given it up. Not because they are not bona fide. And we have taken up to this Bhagavatam. And in fact, Prabhupada explains this very nicely in some of his lectures. In the Bhagavatam itself, you have this where Narada Muni advises Vyasadev. When Vyasadev, after writing the entire Vedic literatures, now he's written the whole Vedic literature, still he is despondent. He's not satisfied. Then Narada Muni comes and tells him that look, the kind of literature that you have written, it is the crow-like people who are going to be interested in these literatures. But you should write a literature for the swan-like people, the paramahamsas, the nirmatsaranam satam, people who are free from envy, the topmost class of people. Therefore, he wrote the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is meant for those people, the topmost, and as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, the people with highest intelligence. Now, there is a lecture where Prabhupada succinctly says what Narada Muni did. This is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 1511, New Vrindavan, on the 10th of June 1969. So, Narada Muni is advising that you do something which should be accepted. Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha. This is actually the next verse. So do something for the saintly persons, transcendentalists. What you have done, this literature is for the crow-like persons. Do something for the swan-like persons. Na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Niranjanam. So, is Narada Muni blaspheming the literatures compiled by Vyasadeva? No. So we have to look at things from perspective. The perspective is from the perspective of the from the perspective of descriptions of Krishna's glories. The other literatures, there's a potential that people can just use it for their sense gratification. And why is the crow being mentioned? So Prabhupada explains that what is the qualification of a crow? It eats garbage. So, and Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing, Puna Charvita Charvananam, which actually means tasting the tasted. Sometimes people will think, okay, he's talking about Puna Charvita Charvananam, so it's chewing the chewed. But each time we are chewing, we're getting some juice. So how is it, once you chew the chewed, you don't get any juice, right? So what does it mean? Chewing the chewed. Well, he's trying to say the tasting the tasted. So what it means is you already tasted this happiness. You already chewed it. You already chewed this kind of happiness. Again, you're chewing the same kind of happiness. The same kind of happiness you're chewing again and again and again in different forms of life. For example, in all the different animal species, bird species, whatever species you have, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, the pleasure is not different. It is exactly the same. Just that there may be some variation in details. The frequency that you can get the pleasure, the duration or things like that. But the quality of the pleasure is exactly the same. So therefore, we are repeatedly chewing the chewed. So what did the other literatures, the other Vedic literatures, they provide us the option for chewing the chewed. Therefore, Narada Muni says, To Vyasadeva, Vyasam Tirtham, the pilgrimage of the crows. Because only the crows are interested in eating garbage, that which is unfit. And sometimes you can see, that in India, now with the advent of so much technology and whatever else has happened in modern times, you can see that the Indians today are more interested in sense gratification than even the Westerners. So that it is said that when a new crow goes to a garbage bin, it is more enthusiastic about eating the garbage than the experienced crows. So that's what is happening with India, that we had this great Vedic culture, but because of not having understood what it is, because if it is about sense gratification, if that is what the Vedic literature is teaching, better learn it from the West. They have it, they know how to do it. Like Prabhupada said, that that's a mentality. So like Prabhupada said, these Western people, they think about everything. Like once when Prabhupada was shown about this toothbrush, the motorized toothbrush, and Prabhupada said they think about everything. And so like that, even the Radha Damodar, they had how within a bus, you could have a whole temple. So Prabhupada explained, and they think about everything. So that's the nature of the mind which is inclined towards sense gratification. So now the Indian people are thinking, okay, if the Vedic also speaks about getting some sense gratification through worship of demigods and things like that, that's a little bit difficult, but this appears easy, right? You just follow the scientists. So it's easier sense gratification. So then what has happened is that people from India, they know the mentality of people in the West, and they also know the emerging mentality of India. So what do? They're afraid to present the Vedic script, the actual conclusion of the Bhagavatam as it is, even if they know it. Hardly people know it. But even if people know, sometimes they are very reluctant. Oh, what will they think? Only Bhagavatam, only Hare Krishna, looks very fanatical. So they compromise in various ways. I remember that, it's just recent, that Prabhupada's, we just finished Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And there's one devotee, educated, fairly experienced, who wrote a Vyasa Puja offering, saying that we should not be fanatical about Prabhupada's contribution. Why we should not be fanatical? Because before Prabhupada went to the West, already there was yoga, there was kirtan, there are so many different things. So he compares all that. This is a Vyasa, he writes it. So it's like different waves in an ocean. Okay? And you have waves in an ocean, and then you have a big wave. The last wave is considered to be the big wave. So we should not say that Prabhupada is exclusive, but we should simply say that Prabhupada is the last big wave in the wave of the others. You know. Now, this is a classic example of what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Pahrita Jnana. So when your intelligence is stolen by illusion, you're not able to perceive what is reality. So somebody responded to that by saying, just like you have currency, you have bona fide currency, then you have fake currency. The fake currency is also printed in some press. It appears very much like a real currency. But what is the value of that currency? Zero value. In fact, you can be punished for that. You can even be punished for that. So that is the value of all these so-called yogis and others and all these other groups. What value do they have? Zero. In fact, they're leading people to hell. Because in the name of all these things, they're promoting sense gratification. And Ishopanishad very clearly explains this. That even dangerous than avidya are those who promote avidya. So, because there is easy bucks in that, and people like it, therefore it is being promoted. Now, I'm saving the best part for the last. So, I've said a few things. Now, if you think that, okay, I'm sitting on this Vyasasana, this is my personal opinion, this is rather militant, does this represent Prabhupada's mood, or was he more conciliatory? Does this appear very militant, or does it appear very exclusive? Now, I have a reference from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see what Lord Chaitanya says. And let's see what Prabhupada says. So let me read out those. These are about after the Mahaprakash Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself speaks about the Sankirtan process. Chanting the holy names. Let's see what he says. Okay, this is from the Adi Leela, chapter 17, text 22. I'm not going to read all the purports. I'm going to read one purport. Kalikale nama rupe Krishna avatara. Nama haite haya sarva jagat nishtara. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. Text 23. Dhardyalagi harer nama ukti tinavara jadaloka bhujayite puna evakara. This verse repeats the word eva. Certainly. Three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats harer nama, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. three times repetition. Then, text 24, I'm going to read the purport to this. Text 24, Kevala Shabde Punarapi Nishya Karana Jnana Yoga Tapa Karma Adi Nivarana. This is translation. The use of the word Kevala. Kevala means only. That's where the word exclusive comes from. And this is the concept, this is where Prabhupada derives the exclusive concept from. The use of the word Kevala only prohibits. This is the translation of the text. All other processes such as cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga and performance of austerities and fruitive activities. Then Prabhupada explains, what is our Krishna conscious movement? Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only. Whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga or the performance of fruitive activities or useless austerities. And then notice what Prabhupada says next. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of the opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis and tapasvis. When they say, very important statement, when they say they're as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and they are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Text 25. Anyata yemane tara nahika nishtara nahi 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 etina evakara. This clear verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. Now these are texts directly spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. No one can understand the injunctions of the scripture more than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the purports have been presented by our acharyas, and this is the purport which Prabhupada presents. Of course, there are other purports also, but all of them are clear. And I just wanted to bring out the fact that what Prabhupada is doing is, this is one thing which Prabhupada repeatedly does. If you notice his conversation with Professor Stoll, Prabhupada says that all Vedic literatures are a glorification of Krishna. And then Prabhupada actually goes on to explain this very clearly. This is not what I am saying. This is what the scripture is saying. This is exactly what Prabhupada is saying. I am not saying it's exclusive. The word Kevala is used by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in this text. Lord Chaitanya, the supreme personality of Godhead, the most munificent avatar. Nobody can be equal to or greater than him. The avatari, in fact. He's speaking this, Kevala. So Prabhupada's difference used to be always this. Even the Professor Stoll with the scholars, the academics, saying, I'm not saying it. Scripture is saying it. And Prabhupada did not compromise on that. Whatever scripture said, exactly as it is, he presented. And Prabhupada said, this is the reason why that he succeeded. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's own godbrothers criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur employed this chopping technique. Because until then, the various practitioners, the philosophers and the preachers, they would approach a kind of a conciliatory method. Some people even say that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because apparently in their eyes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was more conciliatory. But you can understand, you can give pleasure. Bhaktivinoda, I think Bhaktivikas Maharaj makes this point, that you cannot understand, you cannot give pleasure to Bhakti, Bhaktivinoda, without Bhakti Siddhanta, without the Siddhanta of Bhakti. So we learn, we cannot understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur directly. We can understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur through Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And therefore we are called the Saraswatas. Prabhupada clearly defines it. The Chaitanya Charitamrita. He doesn't say we are Rupanugas. We are Saraswata Rupanugas, he says. So we follow in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And that's very clearly written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So our strategy is the same strategy that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur adopted. Which is, speak the truth straight. No compromise. Like Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, even the great scholars used to be afraid to talk to his beginning students. Because no compromise. So this is the strategy which Prabhupada adopted. And this is the reason that the Krishna consciousness movement took hold across the whole world. Because a lot of people were coming and speaking a lot of things. And Prabhupada had the courage to come and say, everything else is wrong, and this is right. And he also wrote all his books just to show this is right. Because we cannot practice proper the path of bhakti without proper knowledge of bhakti. Therefore it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not come to give just bhakti. He came to give three things. Vairagya, Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya, Vidya and Nija Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti is there, Bhakti Vidya is also there. And when you follow Bhakti Vidya and practice bhakti, automatically Vairagya develops. This is the characteristics of a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, there is a very classic example which I'll come to that a little later. There is a reason why we have to study Prabhupada's books very carefully. For example, if you just read this purport, in isolation, then we may end up thinking that we can promote the Hare Krishna Mahamantra like one of the ritualistic activities. Sometimes people do that. They'll say, okay, solve this problem with this, solve this problem. But Prabhupada, actually, what is he trying to intend to say here? He's not trying to say that the Hare Krishna Mantra is the Karma Kanda process. Like one of the 8 offense against the chanting of the holy names is to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as Karma Kanda. Now, if you just read this purport in isolation, you may develop that misconception. But if you read the whole of Prabhupada's teachings, then it's very clear why we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to develop love for God. And if you develop love for God, automatically everything else is satisfied. You don't need to separately endeavor for anything. So that is the idea presented in this purport. That Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham, that Krishna will take care. You think about developing your love for Krishna. And when you do that, whether it's rain, whether it's scarcity of rain, or whether it's flood, whatever, automatically, without your bothering about it, automatically, these things will be taken care of. So, sometimes we think, okay, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the Yoga Dharma. Reading the books is not the Yoga Dharma. Therefore, let us chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But Prabhupada repeatedly, if you read his books very clearly, you'll understand, you can go back to Godhead. Not by chanting Hare Krishna and following 4 regulative principles your whole life. You're not going to go back just by that. You have to chant offenselessly. This Prabhupada very clearly explains. And to chant offenselessly, you cannot chant offenselessly if you do not have the knowledge of what is bhakti. You cannot do it. For example, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva to be equal to. Where is that? That's knowledge. What is the auspicious ritualistic activities? What are they? How should we avoid them? What is our process? The whole science is given in the books that Prabhupada has given us. So if you read those books, not to have material attachments even after understanding so many subject instruction on the subject matter. What is it speaking? That's one of the offenses. So without understanding, even after hearing it says. So hearing is important. Hearing the instructions, the scriptural instructions is important. So we cannot dispense with Prabhupada's books. It goes together with the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because the bhakti that we practice has to be directed with the Siddhanta of Bhakti. Otherwise, it could be just sentiment. The Sahajiya, sir, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement had already degraded into the Sahajiya movement. But Bhakti Siddhanta, he was the one who stressed, distribute books, print and distribute books. Because Bhakti has to be practiced according to the Siddhanta of Bhakti to achieve its proper result. You cannot simply chant Hare Krishna and achieve it. It's just not going to happen. You have to have a clear understanding of what is right, what is wrong, and why are we chanting. Very clearly, in that mood, if we chant with the proper knowledge and crying for Krishna, then if you do that for your whole life, you're automatically progressing and you'll go back to Godhead in one life. And Prabhupada wanted that, which is an extraordinary achievement, but it's possible. If you don't read his books, finished. Then it's like how Rupa Goswami says, simply a disturbance. Smriti, Suti, Puranadi, without reference to the scriptures, if you practice bhakti, it is simply a disturbance. And before I end, I'll just end with one story. This is a very famous story in the Sri Vaishnava line. To just illustrate the point, what is the importance of understanding what is what in bhakti? So, in the southern part of India, there are villages where only the Brahmanas live. You know, it's called the Agraharams, they call it in southern India. Only the Brahmins live there. And once, a prostitute, she took up a residence very close to an Agraharam. And obviously, some of the Brahmana men started going to, I mean, because they felt tempted, whatever, they started going to her. And so, there was a complaint to the Acharya, Sri Vaishnava Acharya, that this lady, this prostitute, is now taken up residence close to the Agraharam, and because of which the men of the family, not everybody, some of them are going to her. So then the Acharya decided to ask her, what is the reason that you did this? Why do you have to be here? She said, I am very well aware that my profession is extremely sinful, and I know the consequences of it. I am going to hell. And but I don't know how else to maintain my livelihood. But I have come to this Agraharam, this Brahminical village, because after I've come to this Brahminical village, my clients are all the Brahmana men. Not all the Brahmana men of the village, but her clients are all Brahmanas. So, she said that therefore, I was thinking that I came here because I was thinking that anyway I'm leading a sinful life. Let me at least do some Vaishnava Seva. So therefore, I mean, there is some hope for me. So then the Acharya explained that these men are not coming to you to serve Vishnu. And there is no concept of Vaishnava Seva without trying to please Vishnu. They may be Vaishnavas by their previous practice or whatever, but that particular activity that they are doing is not pleasing to Vishnu. Therefore, your service cannot be considered as Vaishnava Seva. This is the importance of knowledge. Because if we do not have knowledge, we can develop a whole lot of misconceptions. And especially in the times that we live in, it's prone to false propaganda. And so the more we are exposed to it, the more we can get misled. Therefore, our real shelter, Prabhupada said, if you read my books, you'll never fall down. Of course, if you chant Hare Krishna also properly, you'll not fall down. But if you take shelter of his books, then you'll know what is what. And you'll practice bhakti properly. And don't think again that reading Prabhupada's books is not so important. But if you consider Prabhupada in his purport to 4.9, I think it's 4.7, just give me a sec. Prabhupada says the most grievous type of Vaishnava aprad is called Guru aprad, which refers to offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. In the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this Guru aprad is considered the most grievous offense. Guru ravagnya suti shastra nindanam. This is offense against the holy name. Guru ravagnya means disregard the injunctions of the spiritual master. And we all know that Prabhupada is the primary Siksha Guru for all ISKCON members, and he is the founder acharya. So the greatest offense that you can commit in ISKCON is to disregard Prabhupada's instructions. And there is no excuse. We cannot say, I did not read Prabhupada's book here, I did not know. The Prabhupada gives the example, just like fire. When a small child touches it, or a big man touches it, it's going to burn. So therefore, there's no excuse for not reading. You don't read it and commit. You disregard some of his instruction. Immediately, it's Guru Rava again. It's the greatest kind of offense. And obviously, you're not going to chant Hare Krishna mantra and progress very nicely when you commit such offenses. Therefore, reading his books is important so that we can practice the process of bhakti properly. So we know that when we say chant Hare Krishna Mahamat, that's Kevala, only this. We are not fanatical. This is the injunction of the scripture. So I think I'll stop there if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Mataji. You raised your hand even before, so I'll give her the chance first. For? Adilila 17:22 onwards. It's 9 o'clock, so those who want to leave can leave, and those who want to stay to ask something can ask. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, regarding chanting, inoffensive chanting dissipates darkness. Inoffensive chanting dissipates darkness.
Yes.
And it emanates transcendental rays.
Okay.
And thereby the water evaporates and forms into clouds, and then, you know, that explains.
Okay.
Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Okay.
And so offensive chanting, it does not dissipate darkness.
No. Yeah. Of course, Prabhupada said initially sometimes. There was this question asked to Prabhupada that offensive chanting is dangerous, or so people are wondering whether to chant or not. Prabhupada said offensive chanting is better than no chanting. So we have to chant, because that's the injunction given to us. Then we have to be also careful to avoid the offenses. So gradually we will progress on the path of bhakti. Speedily, in fear. The more you follow, the more speedily you progress.
And that is why acharyas ask us to come to the platform of pure chanting. And not to remain neophytes.
Yeah, but pure chanting is both the goal and the result. It's not only the result. It's both the goal and the... it's both the goal and the process. Both. It's very unique because the absolute, the process and the goal is identical.
Uh-huh. Prabhuji, one Swami was telling that Krishna's service is very easy. Krishna is pleased, and his sadhus also are very easily pleased.
Yes.
Like there is one shloka, Bhagavad Gita says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam.
Yes.
So there is no need to take hard and hard ways to please Guru. There is one example of one Swami comes to one Grihastha's house. They are very poor, and the grocerer is a troublesome person. He asked all kinds of favors, but Krishna intervenes, and then the mind of the grocerer changes. The lady offers remnants of the sadhu, and his heart transforms, and he doesn't demand any lecherous things from the lady.
Okay.
And so this is an example of the story where it explains that Krishna's service is easy. Even Krishna helps, sadhus help. The sadhus, prasadam also helps transcendentally. It's miraculous. So, it's simple, not too complicated.
So, our slogan is Prabhupada's slogan. Yeah. What is the difficulty?
Yeah.
This is Prabhupada's slogan. Often he would say, what is the difficulty?
Yeah.
This is our slogan. Process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. Very easy. You just have to do it.
Prabhuji, it is also explained by Gurgoyan Swami very nicely. Often I read Gurgoyan Swami's books, and so it's quite easy to understand Prabhupada's books also. It's like, reading Prabhupada's books is like, first I have to wear the glasses of Gurgoyan Swami to read Prabhupada's books. And it's more nectarian, like Shukadeva Goswami eating the mango, and then it becomes more...
Sure, Nectarian. That's your experience, but other people may have other experience also. So all of them are bona fide.
Yeah. I find this Acharya Gurgoyan Swami to be one of the most...
Yes, he is a very exalted prominent, Acharya.
And easy to read. When I read his books, it's quite easy to understand Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, it's so... And like they said, Bhagavad Gita says, doubts are compared to demons, and confusions also. And when there is unhappiness, it is also like demons. So it is not really encouraged. So when I read from Gaur Goswami's books, yeah. Prabhupada is very, very, very effulgent.
Yeah, you can see evident. there is no hard and fast rule. But the point is, you should read Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
So everybody have their own style of doing it, but as long as they read, it's fine.
But the experience with me and my friends is that if we read Prabhupada books through the glasses of Gaur Goswami,
fine, that's fine, fair enough.
It had been very miraculously helpful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Ravi. Just a comment on the reading of Prabhupada books. One time I heard Prabhupada saying that in the lecture, my disciples are ready to die for me, but they would not read my books.
You have an actual reference? Yes, I mean.
I heard it long back.
Yeah, okay, I'll look for that. Interesting. I've heard something to that effect. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavan ki jai.